Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald, and today our devotional is titled, Fruits Worthy of Repentance. As the masses came out in a popular movement involving Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan, the Jewish religious leaders, not wanting to be left behind, also came out to John's baptism. Here was John's response, Matthew 3:7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" The Pharisees and the Sadducees were the religious leaders in Israel. They were typically enemies, but they joined arms in their enmity against Christ. The word Pharisee means separated one. They numbered about 6,000, and they considered themselves to be people of the book. They were scholars. They claimed to live according to the law, both written and oral. They were extreme legalists and very self-righteous. In their minds, if anyone was saved, they were. But they were also hypocrites, preaching one thing and practicing another. Their spirituality was only external. The Sadducees, fewer in number than the Pharisees, ran the temple and the priesthood. They tended to be very wealthy and considered themselves intellectuals. They were the religious liberals, liberal rationalists. They held only to the book of Moses, that is, the first five books of the Bible. They did not believe in the supernatural and angels or the resurrection. It is often quipped that this is why they were sad, you see. These religious leaders probably saw this as just another religious ritual that was now popular, and so they hypothetically claimed that they too were all about wanting to receive the coming Messiah. However, they were not repentant, which was the key thing John was actually preaching. You can't truly receive the Messiah without repentance. As these religious leaders came to get baptized, John said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Now that is some bold preaching. This is speaking truth to power. These were powerful religious leaders who controlled the religious establishment in Israel. Here we have one man taking on the whole system, as it were. John called them out for what they were. He calls them a brood of vipers, which is to say a family of poisonous snakes. The serpent is a symbol of the devil. They were of the devil, and their false teaching was like deadly poison. Jesus also referred to the Pharisees this way. In Matthew 23:31, he said to them, "Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell?" Brood may also be translated offspring, signifying descendants or children. Jesus used the same epithet, brood of vipers, to describe the Pharisees on several occasions. Vipers were small but very poisonous desert snakes, which would have been quite familiar to John the Baptist. It's a quote from John MacArthur. When John says, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" I believe he is speaking very sarcastically. You see, these religious leaders certainly did not consider themselves poisonous snakes, and they were not fleeing from the wrath to come. It is clear from verse 9 that they thought their security was in their physical relationship with Abraham. But the point is, they should have seen themselves for what they were, a brood of vipers. They should have been fleeing from the wrath to come through repentance and confessing their sins, but they were not. So John, in effect, sarcastically jars their spiritual sensibilities, calling them out as spiritual snakes who need to flee from the wrath to come through repentance. This is the point John is making in a sarcastic manner. D.A. Carson says, quote, "John's rhetorical question takes on a sarcastic nuance. Who warned you to flee from the wrath and come for baptism, when in fact you show no signs of repentance?" By the way, Elijah was also a prophet given to sarcasm. And remember, John came in the spirit of Elijah. In 1 Kings, when Elijah had a showdown with the prophets of Baal, he sarcastically challenged their God to send down fire. 1 Kings 18:27. About noontime, Elijah began mocking them. You'll have to shout louder, he scoffed, for surely he is a god. Perhaps he is daydreaming or relieving himself, or maybe he's away on a trip or asleep and needs to be awakened. That is sarcasm at its finest. And John the Baptist here also used cutting sarcasm. There's a place for it, at least in the ministry of a prophet. By the way, those not repentant never appreciate it. They whine about the tone. The unrepentant never appreciate the ministry of a true prophet. The rugged, cutting words of John are just too sharp for them. They want a lovey-dovey acceptance talk, but John straight talked about repentance. Footnote, this is the strongest language that was reserved for the religious crowd, for the phony religious leaders. Of all people, they had no excuse and are most accountable. I believe the hottest hell is reserved for the phony religious leaders. They are the worst. They preach from pulpits. They teach in seminaries. They are called Holy Father, Reverend, and the like. They truly are a brood of vipers who have the wrath of God pursuing them. Matthew 3:8, therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. True repentance bears the fruits of a changed life. A change of mind about sin and about God results in a change of direction in the life. We are not saved by fruit, rather by faith. However, if the faith is real, involving the element of true repentance, then it will be seen in the fruit. In order to escape the wrath of God's judgment and go into the kingdom, one must come to repentance. And this repentance must be real, affecting the entire lifestyle of a person. Genuine repentance results in a changed life. Moody Bible Commentary says, quote, true repentance was to be demonstrated by the production of good fruit, the absence of which negated the baptism and showed the repentance to be spurious. For Matthew, it is good fruit that provides the evidence that one is in right standing with God, which is to say, saved. End of quote. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald signing off for now.